Ball hit deep in the left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy!
This is the Shoeless Goat Podcast.
Brent Brown drops the ball! He drops the ball! 3 runs will score!
You gotta be peeping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Hello and welcome back after a long hiatus to the Shoeless Goat Podcast for Cubs, White Sox, and MLB Podcast. I'm your host, Nick. I am joined again by the prodigal son who has returned from his travels abroad, the mayor of Section 509, Patrick Bovard. Pat, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm doing good, Nick. It's been far too long, you know, for us to get together and do this. But I think one of the things I've been thinking is, like, it was a nice state of bliss not having to watch the White Sox when I was overseas in the UK. It was just, it was like nice getting to watch a sport like Wimbledon, where it's like, I'm not going to be emotionally devastated by this or driven to apathy by a team I've been excited to watch for about 5 years now, let me down. So it was a nice break, but I'm back here. I'm ready to go. We're getting into the All-Star break, trade deadline. It should be some good times here, or they're going to be terrible, but in any event, I'm ready.
So since you were at Wimbledon, I might as well ask a question in the beginning. If you had to pick one professional tennis player to play for the White Sox, who would you pick and why?
You know, I'm probably going to go with like the more popular pick right now. I get, well, at least based off how that went, I'm going with Nick Kyrgios, because somebody could light a fire there. It'd be him.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Most of this team is just not fun to watch, and he's fun to watch. So, you know, vis-a-vis, it would work out well for him.
Yeah, I think he would maybe do a good job of breaking up some cliques that may or may not exist in the clubhouse. Something we'll certainly talk about in a bit. But yeah, like I said, it's been a couple weeks since we were able to get on schedules and everything like that, travel. But I think we kind of needed that midsummer break. Yep. The dog days of summer were definitely rearing their ugly head. But it turns out the Cubs have been kind of a semi-entertaining baseball team to watch as of late. I'll do a quick recap of the series, not going to get too deep into it, but they had won 3 series in a row, beating the Cardinals, Reds, and Red Sox. So those were pretty big. And then, unfortunately, couldn't keep it going, lost 2 of 3 against the Brewers. And they got swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers, but lost by 2 runs in all of those games, had leads in just about most of them. The Sunday game, the most disappointing, having a 5-run lead in the first inning and an 8-3 lead, only to be blown by about the third inning. So you knew it was going to be that kind of game early, but you were hoping to get at least one win. Didn't happen. But again, the Cubs, I mean, if we're going to pick a team between the two that is more fun to watch right now, not winning or losing just from fun base, I guess it's more based on expectations than anything. I think a safe bet here is the Cubs. And I'm sure after the White Sox recap, we will definitely get into that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but that just that sucks.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. But just like, this is not how it was supposed to be.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because like, I wasn't expecting the Cubs to be in the playoff race. So, and since they're not, you have to look for fun in different ways. So the Cubs haven't disappointed me. The White Sox have disappointed the entire, you know, fan base, and it just continues to get worse. So, but anyway, we'll get into that. But let's start with just kind of a brief overview of the time we've missed.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt too bad.
No, I was going to say, I've kind of wiped, you know, before I was gone, out of my brain. They didn't look too good against the Blue Jays the week before I left. I was at 2 of those games in 100-degree heat, and I believe they lost both of them. Just not a good time, but, and then they lost to the Orioles too. And then that's when I really tuned things out when I got overseas. Cause that was, you know, I don't know. I know the Orioles aren't bad anymore or that bad anymore, but just losing a series to the Orioles just doesn't taste good. In any event though, this past week they went 3-4. Really this began like the big critical stretch after a sweep of the Giants where, 15 out of 19 games against the Twins and Guardians, with those other 4 coming against the Tigers this past weekend. So a huge slate of divisional games. First part was a homestand, which you thought was going to be a good chance to get going. Spoiler alert, like most of this season, it was not. But, you know, you still got a lot of games left against those two. So I guess this past week they opened with the Twins. The first 2 games were pretty bad. They lost 6-3 and 2-8, both in disappointing games. Joe Kelly gave up four in the 10th, and he's been freaking god-awful. On Tuesday, the Twins hit five homers. And then Wednesday, they finally got a win where the offense finally put up a big game. Couple of home runs from Aloy, Robert, and Vaughn, and Leury walked it off. So, you know, hey, you stole one from the Twins at home, which sucks to say, you know, for this team that that's stealing one against the Twins. But it is what it is. Second series, you went into it against the Tigers. Again, dropped the first two games, 2-1, 7-5. First game, you blew a good Dylan C start, which was rough. Friday, Giolito was doing okay until Tony left him in for the seventh. Got two outs, and then it went single, walk, single. Joe Kelly comes in, single, walk, double, and then finally out of the inning, but you were losing. Damage had been done, 7-2 at that point. Weekend, you know, even things out with the guy we all wrote up as the ace of the staff for the season, Johnny Cueto, pitching eight shutout innings on Saturday with five strikeouts, no walks, and five hits. I'm not going to go so far as to say he's been their best pitcher this year, but if I was extremely risk averse and I had to put my life savings on one pitcher to not get completely shelled, it would probably be him at this point. I don't know if that means best to some people, it might, but that's where I'd leave Johnny Cueto right now. And then Sunday looked ugly early. Tigers took a 2-0 lead before they came back. Gavin Sheets hit a home run, and then Tony finally putting on that genius masterclass. Pinch hit AJ Pollock for a red hot Gavin Sheets, and it paid off. Who would have thought? Pollock hitting that RBI single to give him the lead in the eighth inning, which they did not give back up. So not a great week. You're still about five games back of the Twins, barring what ends up happening tonight, Monday night. But just like most of the season, it's just hasn't been good enough.
How did it feel to watch Javier Baez decimate the White Sox in at least three of the four games?
Well, yeah, he's done that all year though. Like he's hit like what 170, but then opening day, he hits a walk-off double, gets that here. And then not only that, I have to hear a bunch of Cubs fans on Twitter talking about how some guy who they had a trade away is hitting home runs off the White Sox. I don't know. Of all the worries going on in my head right now with this team, Javi Baez hitting a couple home runs is right around here. The clicks and all that is probably a little bit higher on my totem pole.
Yeah, we're going to save that for last, I think. I do want to talk about Johnny Cueto and how much worse this White Sox season could be without him and how much I love him. He actually had a nice little ovation back in San Francisco, which was nice. I don't think he got a chance to pitch there, unfortunately, but I guess the Sox didn't need him to, so that's good as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. This White Sox team, I'm looking at the score and not being that dickhead Cubs fan, but I just kind of laugh whenever I listen to sports radio pretty basically all day and you hear all the guys saying, well, this is where it starts. They're going to win this one. They're going to turn it around. Yep. It's going to start. And then I look at the score and it's like 8-4 and they're losing losing 2-1 to the Tigers in a game they certainly would have won last year. Yep. As Chuck Arfine was saying after I was watching the end of that game and he said, this is a game when they lost 2-1 and had guys on second and third with one out. And
one out. Vaughn and Abreu and Eloy coming up. Two runners on second and third, one out.
A really bad Jose Abreu strikeout. Awful. With the ball in his eyes. This was coming after or maybe later. Or this is when they were basically getting no hit by a guy with a 6 ERA until mid-game.
Yeah, like Bo Brisky or whoever. Like whatever created player that is.
Yeah, exactly. And then Abreu gets caught trying to steal, I guess, on an amazing play by White Sox and Tucker Barnhart and just decides not to run. And literally the catcher tagged him out between first and second.
It doesn't stop.
Like, it's disgusting.
I don't know, because like people keep talking about them selling, and I'm like, that's not going to happen. Number one, because they have too much talent to sell, and two, Han is not, you know, basically writing his death sentence by selling off this team. But I just like like you said, they keep saying this is where it turns around, and I keep buying into it because they have that one win, that sweep of the Giants, the big offensive game against the Twins where they come back and win to end this series, a couple big games against the Tigers. And now today, Lance Lynn gives up like five runs in two innings against the Guardians. So it's gotten to the point where it's like, you know, we're getting very, very close to apathy territory. Like, I didn't go to any of the games this weekend, but you know, you could kind of see like the crowd is not as big as it was last year. And I don't know. The one thing I just do not want to hear, and I know it's going to come eventually, is that, well, if the fans were supporting the team, but like, you can't go through this type of a rebuild and then have the GM, I think I've said this in seven different situations this year on the podcast, but you can't have the GM saying, talk to me after the parade, and Tim Anderson going on the radio saying they're the best team in the American League, and then being in third place on the All-Star break in the biggest prime year of your contention window against a division that was largely not trying to win.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about the fact you did mention that Rick Hahn is not going to sell, and nor should he. He should certainly not do that. What I think he should do is launch Yoan Moncada. And I think the reason behind that, and this may be poorly received by you, one, he's done nothing for the team. He's never healthy. Although his value has had his lowest, I think the best thing he could do for this team is send a message to the rest that they ain't fucking around. And if anyone's expendable, I think it's him, quite frankly, if not Grandal. But Grandal's at his absolute lowest value right now. So. Yeah,
sure. That's the problem with so many of these guys. Like, who are you? Like, the guys you could trade for value would probably be Abreu, who is on an expiring contract, although arguably should have been an All-Star. Tim Anderson, who you're not trading. I mean, I've heard Giolito, but like, I don't think that happens, because then who's taking a spot in the rotation? I mean, I guess like I do in theory agree with the shake things up trade. I just like, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't see Hahn, like, especially Moncada. Like, I agree, he's been not great this year. Obviously offensively last year, I think we had an underrated season and still plays good defense, which, I mean, for what it's worth, saying how bad fundamentally this team is on defense, it's not, you know, a bad thing to bring to the table. You can get things going great, but I can't see him shipping off the centerpiece of a trade where he sent away a Hall of Fame pitcher. And basically one of the two guys would be gone in year three of your competitive window, and the other pitcher is struggling through dead arm halfway through the season with Copa. It's just a pride thing. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I think is the thing I'm trying to say is I'd trade Aloy, but like, he's at his lowest value. Like, I mean, that's why they don't pay me to do this, but I don't know what you do.
Yeah. And from the perspective of like trading away to send a message, if you had good leadership, you don't have to trade away players to send a message. You have a coach that could express the message that they're trying to convey, but they don't have a good coach. There's already talks of,
they have a great coach, Hall of Famer.
There's already talks of, you know, the classic Jerry Reinsdorf, instead of firing, reassigning, La Russa. And again, we'll talk about this later, cause I want to wait till later, to talk. I talk about this last, quite frankly. But it's not good. When we're looking at the fact that we're trying to trade away some of the core players to send a message, but something has to shake up this team, and it's a lot uglier than we're letting on at this moment. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, but, I mean, it's the same core as last year. That's the weirdest thing, is it's virtually, outside of Dallas Keuchel, who seemed, you know, to be like a locker room cancer by the end of it, it's virtually the same team as last year, and all of it has just changed. And, you know, everybody will say, I think Steve Stone was saying on the radio today, you know, winning cures all for them. And like, that may be true, but the fact that that team that has done that cannot come back and play with that type of fire again is like, that doesn't happen normally.
So I always kind of, I didn't say I want to cringe, but I was always like, prove it whenever like the Sox were touting, like the game should be fun, this and that. I think I had the biggest problem with it whenever like they started beaning players. Like, it happened a couple times.
Jimmy Cordero, Wilson.
Yeah. Deal. That was the biggest problem. Yeah. So they're always preaching, let's make the game fun. We're the fun team, this and that. And then when someone, you know, when someone pimps a homer on them, they take it poorly. Now we're seeing that they don't even think the game is fun anymore, and they're not playing like it's fun.
It looks like they
don't care.
Yeah. Which I know like isn't necessarily true, but like, it's just, it's like night and day.
It's not true though. It's not true.
No, it just looks like it's like, everything's just like a chore. Like, even when they win games, like the post game videos, it's like, it's never much going on. Home runs. They used to have the home run chain, you know, guys going nuts for everything. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
something. And I don't know what happened.
It's the culture. It's like it's the lack of culture. You know, you have a manager who is a completely lost the locker room, and even if they hit three grand slams in an inning, you're not going to see people give a shit.
No, which is just that's the thing. I'm running out of things to say about it, and then that whole side of it just then drives on the fan side is like why should I care?
Yeah.
Like if it's not if I'm not enjoying watching this, which like honestly like. The fact that I can say that in 2022, which was supposed to be like the year after, you know, last year was supposed to be the year finally. And I got a 2 week break from watching week and a half break from watching baseball. And I like did not miss watching it at all. That like that is a big problem for this team.
Yeah.
It's obviously I'm not alone.
No, you're definitely not. The depths of White Sox Twitter are at their lowest point right now, but it could go lower. We'll see how it goes. We have a half a season left.
Can always go lower.
So we were talking about trading Mankata, so I wanted to pivot the trade talks to the north side of Chicago. Probably two of the hottest trade prospects for the Cubs are their two All-Stars, and we'll talk about All-Stars in a moment as well. Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras. From what I'm hearing, Wilson Contreras is as good as gone in his last 2 weeks. Every time he's been interviewed, he keeps saying, I want to be a Chicago Cub. I want to wear this wear this uniform. He hit his 700th hit, and he goes, I can't wait to hit 1,000 with the Cubs. And they're going to trade him anyway, which absolutely disgusts me, because if you have a guy who wants to be a part of this franchise, there's ways to keep him around. Let's just put it that way. You can figure out a way. You can give him a Bobby Bonilla style contract. If you really, you know, if it really is about the, you know, saving money, like seriously, it can be done, and they're not going to do it. Now, is he at his highest value? Probably. Is he 30 and a catcher? Yes, but guess what? He's having his best offensive season so far. The DH is here to stay in the National League, much to my chagrin, but great for guys like Wilson Contreras and catchers who can hit, which there's like four of them total anyway. I don't understand why the Cubs would not at least try to keep him in some way. I think they lost that chance to keep him around when they didn't extend him over the winter break. They'll blame the lockout for that. I don't give a shit. But it looks like Wilson Contreras is it's basically a ticking clock. They're waiting until after the All-Star game, and then he's going to be a New York Met no matter what. As for Ian Happ, he's a couple of years younger. Of the two, I'd prefer to trade him. He's certainly at his highest value, and I think it's kind of a fluke, quite frankly. I don't think that he's the guy that he's been, you know, he's been playing well, but this is the first time in his career that he has been playing well. So why don't you try to trick a playoff contender into snagging an outfielder that could play like three different positions and came up as a second baseman. So if you have to stick him in the infield, you can do that too. So of the two, I'd rather the Cubs deal Ian Happ, but of the two, it is more likely that Wilson Contreras will be gone, and even more likely that probably both of them will be gone, which leads to the question, are the Cubs trying to contend like next year like they say? Doesn't look like it, but we'll see how it plays out. I mean, Seiya Suzuki and Ian Happ are the exact same age. So let's just put that in perspective.
Did not realize that. Man, but yeah, I mean, I get why they're going to trade Contreras, but like it gets back to that part of it where it's like it should be about like parts of professional sports are just about more than just like getting value out of assets. Like I don't know. I feel like in this city, we've been through too many rebuilds now where we're just kind of like inundated to do it. And like the worst thing that could have possibly happened for like rebuilds, not, you know, obviously I say this somewhat facetiously, but is the Cubs winning? Cause now everybody realizes it can work and it gets people to buy into them again and again. So I don't know. It's just, it's kind of, I don't know. I kind of like some of these trades we've talked about, especially last year, I think more so I kind of go back to like when there were like Jose Abreu talks from the White Sox. And I'm like, I don't care if it doesn't make like baseball sense to pay him a contract to play here. Like I don't want him playing on another team.
Yeah.
There's some guys you just don't, you shouldn't let play elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think Wilson Contreras is 100% that guy. Unfortunately, yeah. It's not going to be the case. But we saw the returns that the Cubs got for their core last year, and it was something to be desired. It was not great. We'll see how those players pan out, I guess. But you just got rid of your three best players last year. You've got two of them left, and you're going to ship those guys out too. And then look me dead in the eye and say, we're trying to win next year.
Like that's not how.
Go away. You know, it's like, and they, I don't know, they're saying they're going to spend the money this offseason. What are you going to do? Buy a whole entire new team? You're going to have a Christopher Morel banner hanging next to the marquee on opening day? Like, what are we doing?
It's like last year when they had the first Field of Dreams promo and it was like Patrick Wisdom on it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love my third baseman that hits 220 and has 18 home runs at the All-Star break. But come on. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I think they're going to do it again. It sucked enough last year. I thought they'd at least keep Baez. They didn't. So I know Baez, if you had to pick from those five guys who to keep around, it was Baez and Contreras for me, just because of the innate talent and the inability to replace them. Unlike some of the other guys, you can find a third baseman or a first baseman that can, you know, play half as well as, you know, Rizzo and Bryant until you know, if the prospects come up, but those guys are generational talents that you're going to ship away for probably not the value that you want. Cause I'm sure the Mets know how to play the Cubs. They did it with Baez last year. Yep. So they're going to do it again this year, guaranteed. So I guess meatball rant over, but I'm not looking forward to the next 2.5 weeks because I feel like it's going to be the departure of Ian Happ, Contreras, and maybe even Kyle Hendricks. So that's another story entirely.
Last remnants of 2016.
Yeah, we have Jason Hayward left after that.
Oh, that's right. It. That's right. Forget about him.
So if you'd like a nice late substitution, outfield substitution, do I have a guy for you?
Oh, man.
But anyway, since we're talking about the All-Star break, those were Cubs did get two, and the Sox got one, which is kind of shocking to me. If you told me that the Cubs would have more All-Stars than the White Sox at the beginning of the season, I would have told you were crazy, but here we are. Many, including myself, believe that it should be, I honestly don't think Ian Happ is an All-Star, but here we are. So I think the Cubs should have one and the White Sox should probably only have one, but I think it should be Dylan Cease, quite frankly.
Yep.
Tim Anderson got in as well. I mean, I will say well-deserved, but also I'm not enthused by his play. So he's slumping really hard right now. So it's kind of hard to get behind that and get excited about it.
I think that was the thing with Anderson is when he, you know, came off that go-ahead home run at Yankee Stadium and he was hitting like before he got hurt, he was hitting like 350 with five home runs at that point. Like you could live with that. But yeah, ever since then, he's in like 310 now, which just does not look as good with five home runs.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So, and much to the chagrin of White Sox fans, Carlos Rodon, as his wife put on Twitter, the leader in war, but actually in F war, didn't make it for the Giants. So I think both of them will eventually make the roster, but they weren't initially asked to be on the team. So that's kind of a spitting in the mouth of White Sox fans from both sides, not just the American League, but from the National League as well.
Dude, it's insane. I guess going off on a little bit of a tangent, I don't want to turn this into a grocery list of stats, but four of the top six guys in the league in F4 are not on the All-Star team right now.
That's just wrong.
Gausman and Rodon, number one and two. And then we got Wheeler and Nola.
Yeah. So, I mean, since the All-Star game doesn't matter anymore, I don't know. I'm okay with it not mattering, but also, like, let's get it right. But then, so it's fan vote for the positions and the starters, and then managers pick the pitchers. Is that how it kind of shakes out?
Yeah, so it's like, what do they do now? Which I like better. It's they have finalists for every position, so you can't just have the Royals fans voting in, like, six starters. But it goes down to the finalist, and then those two kind of get to a wider vote. And then the managers, and I think the commissioner's office also picks some of the pitchers. And then obviously now this year we have the legend picks, which I'm fine with. Like, I think it's cool to have Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera there, but Miguel Cabrera should have been the Tigers' one All-Star. That's another one. And then the other thing, I don't want to get into this either, but – well, I do. That's why I'm talking about it, but – one thing I cannot stand, it's not that Shohei Ohtani is an All-Star, but he takes up two spots.
That's fair.
He's a pitcher and a DH, and it takes up one extra roster spot on the AL, which in a game that's
which has kept Dylan Cease out of it.
Yeah, anything that can get around that. Because the Tigers, Miguel Cabrera was the commissioner's pick and not their one representative, and Gregory Soto got their one representative pick, which then is another pitcher on the roster.
You see? There's a lot of things wrong with it. I haven't watched an All-Star game in a long time. I'll probably watch the Home Run Derby, but my preseason prediction of Frank Schwindel winning the Home Run Derby is not looking too hot right now. I don't think they've announced the Home Run Derby roster, but I don't think Frank the Tank's going to get that look.
Just need enough people to drop.
Yeah, but that's kind of beating a dead horse. I think everyone agrees that it hasn't been good leaving Season and Rodon off the All-Star games. So just adding to the list of things the White Sox fans could be angry about. Share the love, I guess. I have no idea. Speaking of things White Sox fans are going to be angry about, I know, has to be done. Reports have come out that there's basically turmoil in the locker room with the White Sox. There are cliques. There is talks that Tony is already on his way out and about to be, I guess, given the John Paxson treatment within the organization. And just kind of like put in a new position instead of firing your friend that you shouldn't have hired in the first place. And well, we already knew the clubhouse was lost, but now it's the players are specifically leaking that it's bad. So that's 10 times worse, if you ask me. I want to know your thoughts on this whole situation. And yeah, just go from there.
Yeah.
I know you've got a lot on your plate with this episode.
It's been a weird like arc of the whole Tony La Russa saga, I think is the best way to put it. Because obviously when he was first hired, it was, can he relate to the players? Like, why didn't they just hire AJ Hinch? Like, why would you take that risk and not just keep Ricky? All of which were valid. And then last year you had the whole Yermin Mercedes thing, which is where everybody thought it was going to boil over. You had him, you know, saying that like when Lance Lynn said it, he shouldn't have been criticized. Tony said Lance Lynn, who is a very well-respected veteran, has a locker and that Tony has an office. And like you thought that was going to be the breaking point, but then they got better. And then it was like, okay, well, winning cures all. And then here we are this year, stuck in third place, right about at the All-Star break. And we get this coming out. And like you said, if it's actually leaks coming from players, that is probably the worst thing that could possibly happen. I think one of the reports that Bob Nightingale was saying was that players have been telling players on other teams that there's basically like there's just nothing going on, like no leadership, nothing at all, which is a very weird thing to be leaking. Especially in a situation where the manager is Teflon and can't get fired.
Here's the thing that is strange about this is that clearly Bob Nightingale is talking to players that have talked to players, right? He's not talking to White Sox players. White Sox players would never tell Bob Nightingale or whoever that there's turmoil in the locker room. How does Bob Nightingale find a player knowing that he would have talked to another White Sox player? It has to be like a former White Sox player playing on another team that is still in contact with his team. That's the only way that it makes sense. My money is – take a guess who you think it is.
Big D?
Dallas Keuchel.
Honestly, I mean, I could see that, but I don't know. I just – well, the other thing too with Nightingale that always makes it interesting is he's one of the few reporters that Reinsdorf will talk to. Like he was the first on the La Russa thing, and people thought it was a joke.
Yeah, so maybe
there's a lot of angles to this. It's just that's why like a lot of times like last year Nightingale said Eduardo Escobar, soon to be a White Sox, ended up just being garbage. I have to take everything he says with a grain of salt because he got the La Russa thing right.
Yeah,
which is just rough. But I just and then what was the other report I saw today where Kenny Williams addressed the players and staff on Friday, and this from Bob Nightingale about their underachieving performance this season, reminding them of their talent, but that it was time to focus and pull together. No one was absolved from staff to players for the team's woes. And I saw another reporter ask Kenny about it, and he said it was a private conversation. So obviously Nightingale's the only one getting this information. But it's just like, I think the best line I have is just, this is not how this was supposed to be. Like,
yeah. And it's unfortunately it is the way it is right now. I've never been a part of like a team like this. I've never seen this happen with any of my teams, really. There's been some bad Cubs locker rooms, but nothing like this. I don't know.
Especially for a team. It's so weird. Like the weird thing is, it's not like they made a bunch of moves in the offseason. Like this is virtually outside of like, unless Billy Hamilton and Brian Goodwin and Craig Kimbrell for 2 months were the glue. This is the same team they had last year.
I'm going to put it out there. I think they're the least fun team in baseball right now.
Which is insane because the last 2 years, it was almost the opposite.
Yeah.
And no, now
they were super fun before.
And that's what I keep coming back to. It is literally the exact same team, and they are just miserable to watch. Like, I don't remember. I think the last time I stayed for an entire 9-inning game when I went was when we watched Cleveland beat them in 11 innings with Josh Naylor just murdering them and blowing a 6-run lead in the ninth. I don't think I've stayed for 9 innings since then. Because I would rather get home at 9:30 than stay for the full game. in year six post rebuild with the highest payroll in team history. And I want to go home to go to bed at 9:30 at night when I go to a game. Why is this?
It reminds. Oh yeah, what was that? That ESPN guy. Yeah.
Winner, why is
that? Yeah. It reminds me of the Padres rebuild, also just crashing and burning. Honestly, like they both started rebuilding at the same time. They both completely tore it down. They both made moves to make them look like contenders, neither of which are panning out. Now, the Padres are having a better year this year, but I don't see them winning at all. I don't see the Sox winning at all. I actually don't see the Sox making the playoffs.
Right. It's hard to argue at this point.
And if they do make the playoffs, I don't see them beating anybody with talent.
No, and I can't disagree with that. There's nothing that would suggest, like, at this point, it's too late to say, like, if they have the talent. Well, I mean, they do. Everybody knows it, which is what makes it worse. Like,
Was it just all flukes all at the same time last year?
I don't. Well, and ultimately, like, if it ends up being that the high point of the rebuild from 2016, where they blew up a team that had all sorts of locker room issues with Adam Eaton and then the Drake LaRoche saga and Chris Sale cutting up jerseys and this and that and the other. If the end result of trading away all that talent is two playoff appearances, two game wins, a Lourdes Garcia go-ahead home run in a series they lost in four games against the Houston Astros, and they end up being a team with terrible clubhouse issues that they need to rectify in the offseason by trading away a bunch of proven talent, like what were the last 5 years for?
Really makes you appreciate what the Cubs were able to string together for 4.5 years.
That's
all I got to say.
And that's another thing. Like, I'm sure you've heard it too. Like, Sox fans last few years saying, you know, you don't want to end up like the Cubs, do you? I think I never bought into that to begin with, but like, I would gladly take that now. And if we were the Cubs by this point, we would have already won a World Series in 2021 and had two ALCS appearances.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't trade.
Nope.
However it shook out later on, I would never have traded what the Cubs did for anything else.
No.
You know, it's fun to say you could have won, you know, 3 of 5, but that's extremely hard to do.
Yeah, no, that's why nobody's done it outside of the Giants. And nobody's repeated since the 90s.
Yeah. No, and so I guess I'll leave it at that. We'll come back for the final question on the White Sox, but I just want to remind everyone that although the Cubs are not going to make the playoffs, there is something exciting for us coming for September baseball. And that is yours truly. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, we'll be announcing an inning of Cubs baseball on Marquee Sports Network. That date has been confirmed, September 4th. They have not told me what inning yet, but they are playing the St. Louis Cardinals. So I'm extremely excited for that. I'm also taking any requests of suggestions of things to say on live television. Okay. If you're an avid listener of the program, you will know that there is at least one line that will for sure be said as Marquee Sportsnet goes to commercial break and probably cuts my mic anyway. But
and the fact that it's against the Cardinals, even better.
Yeah, no, I would love to, it's probably going to be when the Cubs are batting. It's going to be like Michaelis delivers a curveball to the future, not Hall of Famer, or something along those lines. but in any case, that would be something to look forward to, even if the Cubs have not been something to look forward to as a whole. So wanted to make that announcement. We're going to be talking about this quite a bit. We're going to have quite a bit of input, and Sports on Tap is going to have something to add to it as well once we get ourselves a little bit closer. But in any case, Pat, it's been a tough episode, and you've took it on the chin like a champ, much like Jose Bautista taking a Rougned Odor swing to the face and not going down. So I want to thank you for that. By the time we talk next, it'll be the All-Star break. Maybe we'll take that in stride, do like a mid-season report or something like that.
Well, I just saw on Twitter that apparently Ozzy is going off about Tony on the post-game show, so this is only going to get worse.
Oh boy.
Doesn't that?
That's another person that just needs to go away. But yeah. In any case, we're going to end this episode the way we always do, with a question for Pat that he hasn't heard. And this one stings a little bit, Pat, but what percentage chance do you have for the White Sox to 1) make the playoffs, 2) advance in the playoffs, and 3) win the World Series in 3 different percentages?
Make the playoffs, I'd say 25%.
Wow, that's low. I thought you were going to be in the 40s.
The models are putting him closer to 50, but I just like, I don't know. I don't want to be the eye test guy, but like, I just, do you see this team pulling themselves up and going like 10 to 15 over 500 the rest of the way?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
The number of wins, like I saw a couple weeks ago, like the record they would have to win 90 games seems impossible.
Yeah. It's basically the Yankees pace right now. And like, they can go 500, but I just like, I don't think they're going to, they have five games against the Twins to end the season with a series sandwiched around a series in San Diego. I just like, unless something changes fast, I just don't see, like, they haven't been able to pick it up a gear since that winning streak in like April when they won seven in a row after losing 10 in a row. So, I mean, what does that matter? But I'd go 25%. I think then this is where it'll probably get a little bit higher. Advancing in the playoffs, I mean, if they get that, they're going to be getting a wild card team. Best of three series, I'll give them at least 50-50 there. So I guess that percentage works out to 12.5% because it's half of that 25%.
Okay.
And then winning the World Series, it's just one out of however many teams there are, maybe a little bit below that. For me, it's like you get to October and like, who the hell knows, I guess is the biggest thing I have.
Fair enough.
I don't necessarily think they have a great shot at it, but with this rotation and if the team actually plays up to their talent, again, talent, keyword, they can. So I think the hard part at this point is just this team, you know, getting into shape to make the playoffs, which I at this point I'm like, and I'm not even that upset about it. It's just like, I'm kind of just ready for it to happen. Like, which is sad.
Yeah. They kind of beat it out of you. Like it out of the rest of us, which is super sad. But in any case, let's hope for better things. Okay. We've got an all-star break coming up. Maybe that's the break the White Sox needed. Speaking of which, we're going to take a break for about a week. You can listen to the Shoeless Go podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else you listen to your podcast. I want to thank you, Pat, for coming on the show. Of course, we will get together soon. And as you may hear on the air in a couple months, Yadi Molina is not a Hall of Famer. Go Cubs, go White Sox, go MLB. Have a great week.